Reading Romans 15, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. This is the King James Version. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope.
Good to be with you again tonight. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we are studying, of course, 1 Corinthians, and we are discovering that the saints at Corinth were filled with pride, and that was one of their many problems. Really, that pride caused other problems that they had. But one problem that they had, and we haven't gotten to it yet in our study, it's not until about chapter 10 where it really comes out, but they were basically the first ones who felt that they couldn't lose their salvation. I wouldn't say they were the first Calvinists, that wouldn't be the case, but they did have that in common, that they felt that because they had been baptized into Christ and because they partook of the Lord's Supper and because Christ was with them, that they were good regardless of how they lived their lives. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you might remember as you flip over there that Paul warned them about that. Down at verse 11 and 12, he said, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Verse 12 says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And so the Corinthians were thinking, obviously, that they couldn't fall. And so Paul warns them about that. Now, in the first several verses here of 1 Corinthians 10, to emphasize that to the Corinthians, he uses the Israelites as an example. And he emphasizes, particularly in the first four verses, how that the Israelites also had some spiritual privilege. They were baptized, figuratively speaking, as they were under the cloud and in the Red Sea, Paul talks about. They also partook of a spiritual meal, that is, a spiritual food and spiritual drink. And they also had Christ, who was the rock that followed them. And yet, at verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And he continues to give examples of how they fail in different ways. The fact of the matter is, it didn't stop with that generation of Jews in the wilderness. The truth is, the Israelites constantly fail. They constantly displease God, finally having, of course, to be taken away into captivity because of their sins or their transgressions. And there's a lot that we can learn from the falling of the Israelites. And so tonight, I want to just look for a few minutes at a couple of things, three things, actually, that contributed to the fall of the Israelites. And let's keep in mind, I'll not reread now, but keep in mind the passage that was just written, that was just read for us by Steve, and particularly Romans chapter 15 at verse 4, where Paul emphasizes that the things written for were written for our learning. We can learn some things about how not to fall by observing what caused the Israelites to fall. The fact of the matter is, the things that contributed to their fall were things that they inflicted themselves with. And we can do the same thing. And so three simple things that contributed to their fall. First of all, they had a lack of knowledge. And all of these things come from the book of Hosea. But they had a lack of knowledge. And the truth is, they were totally without excuse for having a lack of knowledge. In fact, of all of the people on the face of the earth, they were blessed because God communicated to them. God set them apart and constantly communicated with them. They should have known God. They should have known everything about God. They should have been thoroughly committed to God's word and the oracles of God. In fact, turn over to Romans chapter 3 just for a second. And you might remember, as Paul was talking about the Jews and the advantage that they had, that he mentions that very thing. In Romans chapter 3 and at verse 1, he says, then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision? Verse 2, he says, much every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. So Paul viewed that as an advantage, and it was an advantage. That's the advantage that the Jew had over all of the other people on the face of the earth. They had the oracles of God, but they didn't take advantage of their advantage. They didn't study like they should have. They didn't keep that word in their hearts and in their mind. And so Hosea then says, my people, or God through Hosea says, my people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Now again, they were without excuse. He says, because you have rejected knowledge. It's not that they didn't have the opportunity to be knowledgeable and to have the knowledge of God, but they rejected knowledge. And so he says, I reject you from being a priest to me. They didn't take advantage of what they had. And as a result of that, that was one of the things that contributed to their fall. And of course, again, one of the things as we think about the Israelites, it is to me amazing that we learn from the book of Judges how that a generation of Jews rose up that did not know God. And you stop and think about that. After Joshua died and all the elders of that time died, a whole generation of Israelites, they grow up and they don't know God. They're not familiar with all the great works of God and all the things that he did for their fathers in the wilderness and all of that and the opening of the Red Sea. A whole generation of Jews growing up and they're not aware of those great works of God. And we're not surprised when, if you would go over there and read that in Judges chapter 2, you'll find right after it is stated that this generation grew up that knew not God, it then says that the Israelites, the people, did evil in the eyes of God. Who's surprised by that? They didn't know God. And that's what happens when you don't know God. That's what happens when you have a lack of knowledge. It leads to destruction. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the Israelites failed. You remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6 at verse 4, what they should have been doing was not only making sure that they kept the word of God, the oracles of God in their own minds, but they're commanded in that passage to keep them before their children, to put them on their gatepost, frontlets between their eyes. But they failed to do that. And so a generation of Jews grow up and they don't know God. And ultimately, again, they were carried off into captivity because their lack of knowledge. That's why they fail. That's one reason why they fail. Now, again, Paul said that those things were written for our learning. We need to understand the same thing will happen to us on a lot of different levels. It will happen to us individually. If we don't know God, if we don't have a knowledge of God's word, we will be destroyed spiritually. Speaking. We have to do something about that. We have to fill our minds with the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 16, Paul said, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. That's how you counteract that. You remember, of course, Paul saying, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. That's the responsibility of each one of us. I know in that particular passage, Paul is writing to a young evangelist. But all of us together should be studying the Word of God, searching the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 at verse 17. If we don't do that, we fail. We'll end up having a lack of knowledge, and it will lead to our destruction. But what happens if we are weak and if we are dying as individuals, what's going to happen to the congregation? Congregations are destroyed as well. Congregations are weakened when its membership doesn't have the kind of knowledge that they ought to have. When its membership doesn't take advantage of its advantage, that is the Word of God, as Matt talked about in his prayer and prayed about. We're so blessed that we have the Word of God. It has indeed been preserved through the ages. And people have sacrificed so much so that we could have it in our own language. But sometimes we don't take advantage of it. And the people of God are destroyed. And it has an impact upon our families. Even here in the last part of this verse in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. You notice it says, "And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Well, why is that? It's because in forgetting the law, they didn't teach the law to their children. And so, as we have seen, their children would grow up and not know God and do evil in the eyes of God. Why would we think anything is different with our children? So if we don't study, if we don't learn from the mistake of Israel, meditate upon the words of God, Psalms 1 and at verse 1. Study as often as we possibly can and fill our minds with the Word of God. If we don't do that, we will be weak individually. The congregation will grow weak. Our children will grow up not knowing God. We can avoid all of that if we learn from the mistake of Israel. They fell because they had a lack of knowledge. They rejected knowledge. That's a sad and pitiful state of being. Let's not make that same mistake. Here's another reason. Their instability. They were an unstable group of people. And we see that constantly with regard to the Israelites. Hosea said, "What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love," that is their love for God, "is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away." We understand the picture there, don't we? We understand what he's saying. You see the dew in the morning, it's there, but soon the sun rises and burns it away, and it's gone just like that. The next morning it'll be back, but then the sun arises and it will be gone. And God, through Hosea, is saying, that's how your love is for me. It's here for a little while, but then it burns away. And then it comes back for whatever reason, and then it's gone again. And the Israelites demonstrated that throughout their history. That's particularly true in the book of Judges. Again, when you read through that, you see that vicious cycle that they're constantly on, that they would be unfaithful. They would turn to other gods. And as a result, their enemies would take advantage of that and conquer them. And they would be in pitiful situations, and they would cry out to God for a deliverer. And God, in his mercy, would send them a deliverer. And they'd be okay for a short time, and then they'd go back off again. Their love was like the dew. And they would find themselves in a miserable state of being, and they'd cry out again, and God would send them a deliverer. Things would be all right, and then they'd go off again. Over and over and over again. And while that's sort of accentuated in the book of Judges and during that period of time, really, when you look at the overall history of Israel, it seemed to be the same. The northern kingdom, Israel, of course, they had nothing but wicked and evil kings that did evil in the eyes of God. But Judah kind of went back and forth. They were unstable. Now, those things are written for our learning. One of the things that hurts us, I think, more than anything else is the fact that we're unstable sometimes, that we're wishy-washy, that we have no consistency. In fact, I've often said, I believe that's one of the biggest dangers that we face as individual Christians, not being grounded and rooted in the faith. We don't want to be like the Israelites. It will lead to our falling. And over again, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, warns us about that. Familiar passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn over there just for a moment. You remember that great chapter on the resurrection? And we obviously don't have time to look at the entire passage or even the last part of that chapter is wonderful, beginning at verse 50 on down through the rest of the chapter. Paul emphasizes what we have to look forward to, the time when we are raised from the dead and we're changed just like that. We'll have, of course, that resurrected body in which there is no pain and there is no sorrow. It will be a great time of victory. Down at verse 53, he says, "For this perishable body must put on imperishable. The mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Or death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Wonderful teaching there. Victory. There are so many places in the Bible that emphasize our victory in Christ. As Paul, even again in the book of Romans, talks about the fact that we are conquerors. We're more than conquerors in Christ. That's wonderful. But notice how Paul closes it out. After talking about all of that and the great victory that we have over Satan and sin and all of that, at verse 58 he says, "Therefore, in view of this victory that we can have, because we are victorious people through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Be consistent. Have some staying power. Because if not, your labor could be in vain. I've often said again that we're not on a point system. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. If you're not faithful when the Lord comes back, regardless of the situation or circumstances, if you're not faithful when the Lord comes back, all of your labor would have been in vain. We need to learn from the Israelites. They fell because they were inconsistent. They fell because they sometimes did the will of God and at other times they drifted away and ended up in captivity. And again, I see that in real life, in congregations like this, in the lives of individual Christians, one of the hardest things is to be consistent. Being at every service. Praying regularly. Studying your Bibles consistently. Maintaining that staying power. That is the thing that we need. That's valuable. John chapter 15. You're familiar with that text where Jesus emphasizes how that the only way we can bear fruit is if we abide in Him. And to abide means to continue in a permanent state. That's consistency. That's steadfastness. That's the staying power that Paul was talking about. That's what we need to have. That's what Israel did not have. Constantly drifting back and forth, sometimes faithful, sometimes not. Not very reliable. God couldn't count on them. We don't want to follow that mistake. There's one more thing that we'll talk about. And there, really, we could look at many more from the book of Hosea. But we find in chapter 7 at verse 8 that they were mixing with the world. And that too is a recurring problem with the people of God. Ephraim mixes himself with the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned. And I don't know why it is, but this has always plagued, it seems, has always plagued the people of God, wanting to be like the world around us, wanting to mix with the world. And once again, the Holy Spirit understands how dangerous that is and how that can lead to our downfall and destruction. And so we're warned over and over again not to do that. The Israelites wouldn't listen. They had special blessings as the people of God. Again, a peculiar people they were. Set apart from all the other nations on the face of the earth. God's special treasure. A kingdom of priests. They were distinct, but they weren't satisfied with that. As they looked around at the other nations, they wanted to be like them. You remember in 1 Samuel, that's why they cried out for a king. Give us a king so we can be like the nations around us. And again, that has plagued the people of God continuously. We fight and wrestle with that very thing. We want to dress like the world. We want to talk like the world. We want to be just like the world. The Bible is crying out to us, be different. Be a peculiar people. Don't touch the unclean thing. Be separated from them, says the Lord. Over and over again, Romans 12, of course, Paul said that we're not to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We don't have to go along with the world. Let's not mix with the world. The fact of the matter is, there's nothing in the world that's good for us. Anything that is involved or anybody that is involved in things contrary to the will of God shouldn't be very attractive to us at all. Those kind of things attracted the Israelites. They were plagued by that over and over again. Read sometimes Numbers chapter 25 when the people of Israel were right on the border of the promised land and the heathens around them convinced them to get involved in idolatry. Can you imagine that? Right when they were just about to enter the promised land. It was right before them, this land that was flowing with milk and honey. The people around them were able to convince a large portion of them to turn over to worshiping a false god. And God sent a plague among them. It is amazing how we want to mingle with the world and be like the world too often. Again, that plagued the Israelites, but it has plagued us, the people of God, ever since. Let's fight against that. Don't be ashamed of being different. People may mock you sometimes, family members even, friends at school or wherever. Peer pressure is always a problem, but don't be ashamed of being different. When you mix with the world, it leads to a fall. These are just three reasons why the Israelites fell. Lack of knowledge, instability, mixing with the world. Let's learn from the Israelites. These things were written for our example. If we do these things, we'll fall just like they fell. We can avoid it, though, because these things are self-inflicted. We don't have to do these things. We can have knowledge by studying our Word of God. We can be rooted and grounded and consistent, and we can refrain from the world. But the choice is ours. I hope we'll learn from the Israelites and not fall. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not make this the night that you are set free from a spiritual standpoint? All of your sins can be taken away this very night. How precious is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing can wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus. But you can have access to it. You can contact that blood, figuratively speaking, in the waters of baptism. You can be baptized into the death of Christ this very night, Romans 6 and at verse 3. Why not take advantage of that? Jesus died on the cross. He shed His blood. He suffered in a horrific fashion just so that you could be saved. But you have to take advantage of it. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.
Whether it be noon or night.